little bit about myself first. So I'm a practicing architect, and this place for me is really important. It's where I've done a lot of work in my architectural practice. I've done cafes all the way along here. Oh, I'd say a dozen cafes and restaurants and bars I've done along here, a lot in this building at Southgate. I've worked and renovated and fitted out the top levels of the Eureka Tower and the ground level. A lot of my colleagues have done work in this area. So I look at a lot of the buildings around here, and there's personality that comes out of the buildings. It's not just glass and bricks and concrete. And I guess here you really have the connection to not the last 200 years, but more like the last 65,000 years, which you don't feel through the developed city. But I think the river is always the river, and it has a deep connection to land and country. And I get that if I close my eyes and just smell the air and listen to the water trickle past, I have a much greater affinity with the land that we're standing on. And you don't get a lot of that on the bitumen on those constructed laneways. So we're only talking about the last couple of hundred years. There's a lot longer than that, isn't it, that this country's grateful for. So thank you for all joining me. What's going to drive this little tour is my experiences since graduating as an architect. And one of the first significant jobs I got to do was what was Blake's Restaurant, which is right there. It's now called Pure South Dining. And I remember standing on the bridge here in about early 90s, so excited that I got to do a fit out in a restaurant. It was about $320,000 cost to do the work. Today it probably costs $3 million to do the same work. But I remember being very excited about being on this bridge. It had only just been completed. So to me, this is kind of the epicentre of Melbourne. We've got a lot of history running under our feet, and the way this precinct has totally changed. So the Hoddle grid's where we're going to be going up and looking through. Now, the Hoddle grid was Robert Hoddle in 1837 did the layout of that grid. And the streets are very wide to enable horses to be able to turn round. And the back lanes that we're going to really explore today were the sewer pits, where all the rubbish went out and the sewage came out and was sort of neglected. And only since the changing of two main elements in this city's history have those back lanes transformed. So now they're sought after places. In about 1990, the government introduced something called Postcode 3000, which enabled people to live in the city without having to pay for car parking spaces. And the city went about trying to encourage residents back into the city. And that was a very successful program. Residents went from about 500 people living in the city to about 15,000 in 10 years, and it's still growing, as you can see around us. So that was one element which really changed the complexion of our city, people living here. And the other thing is John Cain in about 1986 challenged the liquor licensing laws, the Australian Hotels Association, and wrestled the liquor licensing off the hotels and made drinking outside available to the public. And this was through a guy called John Neuenhausen. He was a reader of economics at Melbourne University. He was engaged by John Cain to reinvent the liquor licensing laws. It took about, I suppose, 5 or 6 years for them to be eventually adopted in Victoria, but it changed the city and this precinct particularly, because you couldn't just sit outside and have a glass of wine. It had to be indoors, locked away. They're worried about flies and people getting drunk and falling asleep on the street, making nuisance of themselves. But of course, that's what happened with the 5 o'clock closing. So what we will see today is the transformation of the hospitality industry and people living in the city, which has transformed those little back laneways, which were lost and now are very precious. This bridge, designed by Cox Carmichael Architects, who I work for. Cox and Carmichael designed this in about 1990, just after this was under construction, not complete, Southgate. And this bridge had Peter Carmichael, John Wardle, who's now quite a famous architect, and Steve Whitford involved with it. And I was working for them back then. It's named after, does anyone know why it's called the Evan Walker Bridge?
He was an architect
and also a member of parliament and a planning minister.
And a very nice man.
Very nice man. He had the vision to transform this precinct from what was an industrial wasteland on this side of the river and turn it into a, which gets on the North Sun, of course, turn it into a pedestrian-friendly, activated river frontage. And over many years, he fought to establish this. And so this bridge has been recently named after him, only about, I suppose, 5 years ago, as it became the Evan Walker Bridge. Beautiful bridge. It's one of my favourites because it moves when you walk underneath, when you walk over it. It's actually, you can feel the bounce in it. And it has a lot of poetry in it, little special spots like the one I'm standing in where you engage with the river and you can contemplate it. Its axial arch is absolutely, it's called, was called the Coat Hanger Bridge for many years before it got a name. And the little cafe downstairs, Ponyfish, is in the shape of a skull that you wrote. So it also has reward and denial. So when you come up from Southgate, you face just this big wall and you have to go around to these little balconies to get an idea of to engagement with the river. So it has this wonderful reveal as you experience this bridge. What I've experienced in this area is the way Melbournes have engaged with it. It's really become very successful because of the pedestrianisation of it. And the other bridge which has been pedestrianised is the Travellers Bridge, which I recommend you go and have a look at another time. But that talks about the way, well, it's the Sandhurst Railway Line Bridge, of course, but it talks about the way immigration's played a big part in enriching our city. And there's actually a story, written story on the bridge. And the Travellers, those big aluminium sculptures, used to move back and march back and forward like the immigrants. So there's a lot of kind of meaning and connection I have with the city, and I particularly love this bridge. I think we should push off, and please experience the bridge as you go across it. We're going to go across the north side and go up to Princes Bridge and gather just at the start of the Princes Bridge in a little nook on the other side of the road, on the Fed Square side.